Looking to bet on the NFL this season? There's no better place to wager than betonline.ag. From spreads to totals to player props, you can bet on anything and everything NFL at betonline.ag this season. BetOnline is the official provider of all betting lines used on the TDN Fantasy Podcast and thedraftnetwork.com. Go to betonline.ag and start wagering on the NFL, college football, and so much more right now.
TDN Fantasy. The TDN Fantasy Podcast with your hosts Paige DeMacos, Jamie Eisner, and Jake Arians.
Welcome in to the TDN Fantasy Podcast. Paige DeMacos, Jake Arians, Jamie Eisner, and what we thought would be the Tankathon Bowl, right? We just finished watching Monday Night Football. Jets and Patriots was pleasantly surprised with the compete level that happened tonight. It seems like Adam Gase just maybe got up a little more for playing against Bill Belichick, but they lose the football game on a last second field goal. But if you're a Jets fan, you got to kind of be happy that you saw a good game. You're entertained from beginning to end. But at the end of the day, you're one step closer to Trevor Lawrence being your quarterback and you guys kind of hitting the refresh button. Although Adam Schefter had some fun teasing you guys at the beginning of the broadcast. So don't start having those nightmares about Trevor Lawrence going back to school. Cause good Lord, he already put that out in the universe. And I was like, oh,
0% chance.
Yeah. I was like,
that's assuming Clemson wants him to come back to school.
Also that, just saying.
0%. I think they're just fine with him leaving and becoming the first pick of the draft and the superstar and not losing his backup to the transfer portal if he comes back.
Yeah. Also, there's about, 30 million reasons why he's going to take going out than that, actually. He's not going back to school, guys. It's a fun shtick, but come on.
If you want to pull an Elway and Eli, whatever, you could do that at some point. But I have a better chance of throwing a pass next year for Clemson than Trevor Lawrence does. Like, it's not happening. Nobody is going back to school to risk their body when they are the no doubt number one overall pick and you're going to get all the money, like, and all the endorsements and everything else that's happening. Like, it's not happening. That narrative is ridiculous. It's not happening.
150%. It's absolutely not going to happen. So it was funny to see everybody on the broadcast lose their minds for a little bit, but then Randy Moss very eloquently said the same thing I said. He goes, is there a reason why he would turn down $35 million? I was like, just started screaming in the middle of the broadcast, and I was like, and to Randy's point, no, that's the answer.
There,
like,
isn't a reason.
He's not leaving that much.
You know how much conditioner you can buy with $35 million?
He's got, like I said,
you don't have to buy it though. He's gonna have every Pantene Pert Plus commercial, VO5, Vidal Sassoon. I just named like five. I didn't even know I knew that many damn conditioners.
I was saying
they're all clamoring. Like, dude, can you imagine how much Head and Shoulders is gonna pay him?
So much.
Yeah, so we're gonna get him, Mahomes, and Troy Polamalu.
that might be a $30 million deal for Head and Shoulders.
Yeah, he's going to be going to the draft, and he's more than likely going to be a New York Jet. So I don't know. I think this was their one. Joe Flacco gave it everything he had, but man, at one point during this game, we're getting our little Slack channel going, and I look down and I'm like, okay, we're this is a decent game. And then
I'm gonna have to tell you what I said.
Oh boy.
All right.
Oh boy.
Smoking Joe Burrow is gonna have to wait to get the name from Smoking Joe Flacco that was lighting the Patriots' ass on fire. He played phenomenal.
He did.
Dude, like, who? Rashad Perriman is a back out there who's a really good player. He's kind of come into his own last year. He can't stay healthy. Crowder was out there, phenomenal catch in the first half on a freaking dime, by the way, the half. But, like, it's still Frank Gore back there, LaMichael Perine. Becton goes out in the first half, doesn't come back in. Smoking Joe Flacco was on fire. Like, he's had these games few and far between in his life, but he lit them on fire. And you're talking about the strength of this Patriots defense is still that secondary. He lit him up. It was awesome. And on the flip side, Cam played really well. Cam had one incompletion in the first half, and he brings him back at the last second, which didn't look like it was going to be probable. It was, 3rd and 20? He gets 18. They save the one timeout. Nick Folk pipes it. As Paige said, best-case scenario for the Jets. You played really good. You were competitive on Monday Night Football on a national TV, and kind of worst case for the Patriots. Like, you won, and you get, we got off the three-game schnoz. You suck.
Like, yeah, they're bad.
you had to come from behind to tie the game and then get a last second field goal to beat the Jets.
And also
kicked your ass all night.
Yeah, and the Jets also got a 12 defensive players on the field penalty that allowed for you to be able to have extra. Like, I was like, oh, there are the Jets. There they are. That was so nice. I was like, okay, now the Patriots are going to get in this game. We might end up getting overtime. We ended up not.
By the way, did I hear that stat correctly? That Greg Williams, 26 of the 32 dudes on their defense have been cut or were undrafted. Did you guys hear that stat?
Given the guys they rolled out there the last 2 weeks, I believe it.
If that's the case, that might be the best defensive coach team game plan I've ever seen.
Yeah.
26 of 30 dudes have been cut or were a free agent. You have six guys that were drafted that played for you on this team.
As long as Greg Williams stays as a DC, like, he is phenomenal. I don't want to see him be a head coach again, but as a defensive coordinator,
that's not happening.
If despite the 80 offers, I'm sure he's already turned down, but but he is a phenomenal defensive coordinator, and he schemed up a lot of defenses over the years with guys that are just guys. And that's what I mean, the Jets are just playing guys right now. Like, Quinton Williams isn't playing this game.
Shocked, like, the crap out of you. Like, I know they traded a bunch of guys. I know they got some guys on IR. They have six dudes on the entire defensive roster that were drafted. How bad that is? Like, that's mind blowing to me.
I would like to bring to your attention
expansion roster.
A performance from tonight's game that deserves being talked about from a fantasy perspective. Why? Because he's had three straight good performances and he's only rostered in 23% of leagues. That is Jacoby Myers. He had 11 points 3 weeks ago, 14 points 2 weeks ago, 25 points tonight. Is there something to this without Julian Edelman? Because he looks like the only guy that Cam trusts out there. It looks like Rex Burkhead and Jacoby Myers. And
maybe, but that's the problem. You're playing the Jets and the Broncos and whoever else kicked their ass last week. And it's Cam. Like, I don't know that you can rely on Cam to play this well, throwing the ball against a mediocre defense. Like I just said, what Greg did tonight with who he had was phenomenal. And Cam played well, but but as Jamie said, there's 75 receivers you can play every week. I don't think I'm putting Jacoby Myers and counting on Cam to throw it well in my list.
Yeah, he's a guy that's been – I had some trouble trying to figure out where I wanted to rank him next week. I settled somewhere like in the upper 40s among the wide receivers, but – admittedly, there's not a huge difference between wide receiver 27 and 50. Like, there really isn't. If you go through it is a matchup, an injury, and those guys can all flip-flop. But he's definitely relevant. He should be on your radar, but he's just kind of in that glut of a bunch of guys where as long as Edelman's out, he's getting looks, and that's what you need, especially like in PPR league. So he's worthwhile. He's worth adding. He's worth being on your bench somewhere. He's not a must start, but he's somebody that needs to be at least in consideration for you going forward. And I imagine he's going to be one of the most added players in fantasy leagues this week.
Yeah, I envision that, especially since it isn't just one game, right? He's had three straight good performances where it justifies him being in a flex position for you. So just wanted to bring him up because I found it interesting.
Are they off this week? I think they're off this week.
Yeah, they're going on a bye. But they return, I believe they have –
they have Baltimore. They have Baltimore, Houston.
Yeah. I ain't adding him for a bye week in Baltimore. I can tell you that much. I ain't playing him against Baltimore with Cam throwing the ball.
For sure. They have some favorable matchups.
Now, with Marlon Humphrey's back, if Edelman's out and Marlon Humphrey's back, Jacoby Myers is a zero.
For sure.
That's the concern. Like, that's the concern because we talked about that. I forgot who we talked about it. Who's on a bye, and then they come back and they play the Raiders and they play Tampa Bay.
And then they got the Cardinals.
But this is one of those ones where it's like, you're probably not playing against Baltimore. And then is Edelman back? Because now we're talking 1, 2, 3 more weeks from now. So,
and then you got the Cardinals.
Yeah. So
I don't know that that's a good matchup either for you.
This is a good point, Paige and Jake. This is where you have to consider, instead of looking at the big picture view, look at the very small picture view. Would you play Jacoby Myers in 2 weeks against Baltimore? If the answer is yes, he's worth adding. If the answer is no, you leave him alone because that's now 2 weeks you wouldn't have played him because of the bye.
Sure.
And you circle back 2 weeks from now and find somebody. If he was a running back, different story. But right now, a receiver with so many other guys out there, if you're not saying I'm for sure playing him, which means you're in a pretty darn deep league, I'm for sure playing him in 2 weeks, then you don't have to pick him up.
Yeah, in my 16-team league, that has No,
that's a different story.
Their IR spots. Nobody. The second that Edelman got injured and I had Edelman, I picked up Jacoby Myers, and he's in the sleeper leagues right now. He's rostered in 23% of leagues, right? And so he does come back. He plays Baltimore, which is a tough matchup, but then he plays Houston before he plays Arizona. So you're looking at that. I'm going, okay, if Edelman's out, I could justify playing him for probably those two games. And the second Edelman comes back, it's probably not going to be the same, but Cam looks for him all. And by the way, Cam missed him on a monster touchdown throw.
He was good at times last year as a rookie with Brady. He couldn't stay healthy so far this year, but like, you're just relying on Cam against the blitz in Baltimore.
Which is scary.
I'm saying, hell no, I wouldn't touch that unless there was just nobody left.
Yeah, like, for sure.
Like, which, nobody.
Yeah, like, which depending like, on what you're
on the waiver. Yeah.
Like, yeah, which depending on what your waiver league, looks yeah. like. Yeah. In my 16 team league, you wouldn't be able to name the people that are available in waivers. Right. That's where you pretty much are at this point. All right, let's talk risers and fallers, guys. Jake, why don't you kick things off with who you have rising this week?
I got Jerry Jeudy. Kind of sneakily, our favorite word on the show, under the radar for a while there. He started off pretty hot. One of the best route runners already in the NFL. His feet are unbelievable. Looks like he's settling into the NFL game. Looks like he's getting some chemistry with Drew Lock. 10 targets a week ago, 14 targets this weekend, 7 for 125 and a touchdown. But if you're going to play man coverage against him and he's going to get 10 targets, he's going to have you a solid week. They're playing the Raiders secondary. They're going to have to throw it a bunch. I think they're going to be in a shootout if they want to compete in this game. I think it looks a lot like the Atlanta game last week. Raiders defense is better than that, but their secondary is not. So I like Jerry Jeudy moving forward.
Jamie, who do you have rising this week?
One of them is Will Fuller, who's going to be ranked as a wide receiver one for me in my week 10 rankings. He continues to have a ton of success, scored, was it 5 or 6 straight games now? Because Jake stole mine. So this my first one is going to come in on the fly here because Jake stole my Jerry Jeudy one. But Will Fuller's been excellent, and we need to talk about him and Brandon Cooks together as weekly must-starts. Fuller is a wide receiver one low end, Cooks is a wide receiver two. They've been incredibly productive. The Texans are going to have to throw a bunch. And since the schedule lightened up a bit, Deshaun Watson looks a lot better. Now that he's playing less strong defenses that aren't getting in his face as much. And let's be honest, Houston's defense is forcing him to throw a lot. Those guys, there's a lot of fantasy value on that team. I mean, I know he got hurt, and we'll see what happens if he's available this week. But even David Johnson's been way more effective the last month or so. So there's a lot of fantasy value in Houston right now, even if that team can't beat anybody but Jacksonville.
Yeah, Will Fuller's always been a guy that we've always been excited about when he's out there, right? He's always been a guy that you've questioned when he's going to be available, but when healthy, he's always been very good, especially now that DeAndre Hopkins is gone. He is legitimately the number one option for Deshaun Watson. All right, Jake, who do you have falling this week?
It's interesting. So I'm going to put Jonathan Taylor as the name because who knows what's going on in that backfield, but I'm going to say the Colts backfield, the Lions backfield, and the Broncos backfield as a whole are all kind of falling because it's all a timeshare. We thought Phillip Lindsay would have a big week. He had like 3.6 points. Who knows what's going on with the Lions? Kerryon Johnson, healthy, is still a really good player. By the way, if you led the SEC in rushing in college, you were pretty damn good at one point. He can't stay healthy in the NFL, but they seem to like him enough to screw up Swift, and Peterson's still a thing, and who knows what's going on there. And then, as Paige likes to say, Jordan Wilkins is out-snapped Jonathan Taylor last couple weeks, and Nyheim Hines is still a thing. He's still getting touches. He's getting carries. He's getting – all three of those to me are falling because who knows what's going to happen in any of those backfields.
Yeah, it's frustrating for most fantasy owners because there aren't many running backs you can count on right now in general because of all the health concerns and the injuries that everybody sustained. And then you add these suspect backfields to the whole scenario, and it makes you even more frustrated. I feel for Philip
Lindsay.
And the
Colts have a great matchup.
I know.
They're playing the Packers, so like you'd like to think –
but they probably
Jonathan
get everybody
Taylor
involved.
Healthy would be exactly. And they're still throwing it way too much for this great offensive line they supposedly have. So it's the perfect opportunity to smash them in the mouth and run and keep yourself in the game. I just have no faith in that. We haven't seen it. Nothing makes me think that's going to happen.
I don't know why they refuse to do that with that team and that current roster and Phillip Rivers' arm, but
Phillip Rivers can't play under center. So they have to do it running out of the shotgun. So that definitely plays a factor. And then Phillip changing the play a lot and having the ability to change the play a lot seems to be playing a factor too. because he's still wanting to throw it. Old man Rivers still wanting to toss it down the field.
Yeah,
he can't, but he wants to.
He's a competitor, man, and he trusts his arm even when he shouldn't. That's just that. I don't think that's ever going to change. That's just who he is. Jamie, who do you have falling this week?
Well, to Jake's point, the highest ranked running back this week, as bad as things are in Indianapolis, is 30th. I mean, it's just you want to take advantage of this matchup, but you absolutely can't. A team that I think is going to be very interesting to see what veteran quarterback they might be in the market for next year. And that will have maybe a huge impact on where we have Jonathan Taylor ranked next season. My faller is another big name player, and that's Adam Thielen right now. Even with Kirk Cousins having success, it looks like Justin Jefferson is getting the first looks, but he's starting to kind of spread it around, and they're allowing Dalvin Cook to take over games and win for them. Over the last 3 weeks, he's only averaging 8.5 fantasy points per game. He's not inside my top 25 wide receivers this week, so you're still probably starting him in most leagues, but you have to think about it right now. And he's got a tough matchup against the Bears this week, and he hasn't been productive the last few weeks, so all of a sudden, he's not the must-start player that you were drafting him as when you took him as a wide receiver one.
Well, it's been different there without Stephon Diggs, right? We knew for a long time you could count on both of those guys in that Minnesota offense where they were both inside the top 10. You were looking at them on a week-to-week basis. You were excited for both of them. Sometimes those people get excited. Oh, you move on from this wide receiver and all of a sudden it's going to elevate this guy. And that routinely does not happen. So this is another example of that because I know people were excited about him and you just haven't not seen that so far. All right, waiver wire pickups, who we want you guys to go target. We've got a couple of guys, including people we told you about earlier, one of them specifically, but we're going to remind you because 38% of leagues only rostered. That is Alan Lazard. Jamie, you were the one who mentioned him about a week ago. You said, hey, go out and get him. You're going to have to put him in your IR spot, but he's going to come back. And guess what? He will come back. And Green Bay needs other options. They did not address it ahead of the trade deadline. And he's going to be the legitimate number two option aside Davante Adams. So I assume that you are excited about Alan Lazard.
I am. Look, his three games this year, he's got you 18.2 fantasy points, 7.5, and then 26.4. The ball's got to go somewhere else. It's obviously Adams is going to get his. But as we discussed on the show last week, he doesn't get any more of a target share than other wide receiver ones across the league. There's this weird narrative that he's soaking up DeAndre Hopkins 2 years ago-esque targets, and that's not what's happening there. There is room for other players besides Adams and Aaron Jones to have success. It's just going a lot of other places because there isn't another solid option. Lazard can be that guy. He was that way last year. He really started to step up in the first three games of this year before getting hurt. I think he can be that true number two option for them. And Aaron Rodgers needs it. Then there needs to be somewhere else they go with the ball because they're not going to Tanyan anymore or whatever. It doesn't have a weird pronunciation now that he just decided that.
Rhymes with Funyan.
Tanyan. It was like when Steven Hauschka just decided his first name was spelled differently all of a sudden, like 10 years into the league. Remember when that happened?
Yes. And Tyrod Taylor, who's changed how we pronounce his first name seven times, depending on which team he's playing for. I got nothing for that.
And Louisville's quarterback, who I don't remember which way he wants his first name pronounced this week, Cunningham, who's pretty good, but like it changes every week now. But regardless, Alan Lazard is somebody that should be on your radar, especially if you have IR spots. You should be stashing him already because when he comes back, he could have a major impact. Like he was playing like a low-end wide receiver too, if not better for you when he went down. This Packers offense is going to throw a lot. Rodgers is going to throw a lot. He's got a phenomenal matchup this week if he comes back for this matchup. So I would pick him up.
Jake, you like Alan Lazard?
I picked him up in two leagues and stashed him on my IR spot. I mean, I had McCaffrey coming off. I went ahead and moved him up and stashed Lazard. So, yeah, I love it. I loved him coming out. He kind of, like Jamie said, finished up really strong last year, but he looked like that true number two. It's going to hurt Tunyon. And Valdez-Scantling finally had a decent game and wasn't getting yelled at for dropping the damn ball from Aaron Rodgers. But it's going to hurt him as well. Aaron Rodgers has faith in Lazard. He's a big body, big wingspan. And Aaron's throwing it up to the guys he trusts. So I love that moving forward. I mean, Aaron's playing really, really high level. I think if he's healthy, you plug him right back in.
Yeah, I assume I also went and picked up Lazard in one of my leagues after Jamie mentioned it, stashed him on the IR spot, ready for him to come back and inevitably put up a ton of points the rest of the way. All right, JD McKissick, this one, Jamie, I'll let you take this one first as well, because I feel like you, this is like your, hey guys, I don't know what else you got to do to pay attention to this guy, but this is that guy.
Have you seen what the running back landscape looks like right now?
Apparently
all
not.
This dude is doing is averaging 12 fantasy points per game in his last five, had 14 targets last week, ran more routes than any running back in the NFL in week 9, and he's available in 2/3 of leagues. I don't know what we're doing here. I don't know what more he has to show you on a week-to-week basis, whether it's with Kyle Allen, he's done it with Alex Smith, and now he's going to be doing it with Alex Smith going forward. I understand he's not a sexy name. I understand you look at him and you're like, oh, he's probably, you know, he's not going to win you a lot of matchups, but I don't want you a matchup this past week. And he's been damn good. And he's consistent. He is a high floor option for that team. And by the way, they hand him the ball a few times too. Like, I don't, if his name was Antonio Gibson and he was getting this work, he would be being talked about on every single fantasy show across the landscape. But because it's J.D. McKissick and because it's Washington, it's not being paid attention to. I don't know how many weeks in a row he's got to do this. Like 65% of the leagues he's available in right now. Stop it.
Yeah.
14 targets. What else you need to know? They're going to be in tight. They're going to be in tight games. Alex Smith's going to go to people that he trusts. By the way, he doesn't like to push it down the field. He doesn't want to get hit. He's going to dump it off. What more do you need? It's a PPR league. What more do you need to know than 14 targets?
And they're playing both backs some as well. Like they're playing both backs and they're allowing McKissick to run routes out of the back. Like we see all, remember the Chubb Kareem Hunt stuff. Like it's not the same type of offense, but the same type of usage. They're using it with him. Like I've watched a stupid amount of Washington games because the prop betting market has not caught up with J.D. McKissick yet. So I will continue to make money on his receptions prop every single week because it'll be like this week. I'm not joking. This week. It was
it's because you have odds. A problem. Nobody else is gambling on J.D. McKissick player
even
props.
Odds. That's neither here nor there, Paige. We can talk about that with my therapist at some other point. But like this week, he 3 catches over under at +100. So even odds was 2.5 catches.
Oh my God.
That's insane.
What?
This is insane.
The dude gets 7-8 targets a week. This, 2.5 catches.
We have found there is a theory.
Buy me
a
J.D. McKissick jersey. I'll wear it. I don't care.
You're trying to beat the book, right? It's like, oh, I'm going to beat the – and it's not possible until now.
Unless they keep giving you J.D. McKissick 2.5 over-unders, yeah. Then I should bet on anything else.
Nobody in Vegas is paying attention to J.D. McKissick or anybody in Washington. So Jamie will continue to make money on the, that's honestly ridiculous. The difference in where he ends up and what his betting, that's not routine.
That's
crazy. Yeah. Continue to make money.
I have a feeling that's going to be 6.5 this week.
Yeah. That's going to start changing real soon. Probably.
Yeah.
The 14 targets thing might've been the worst thing for that market to stay reasonable, but
I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure. Jake, your thoughts on the free money J.D. McKissick apparently?
Yeah, 14 targets. Like what else do you need to know? I mean, that's easy.
J.D. McKissick, guys. That's all I got. That's like that. Apparently, the theme of this podcast is J.D. McKissick. Another one that we're going to talk about here that is actually surprising, considering Jamie. We talked about him. We talked both of us. We all three of us talked about him. He's owned in 30% of leagues, and that is Curtis Samuel, a guy that I'm very excited about. I have him in my league with Baron. Jake, are you excited about having Curtis Samuel? Somebody you'd be interested in picking up?
I'm really excited about what he's done the last couple of weeks. Yep. I don't know that I'm excited about this Bucs defense after the total embarrassment they laid on Sunday Night Football. I mean, yeah, probably I still probably play him. They move him all over the place. They give him the ball in the backfield. It looks like McCaffrey's limited or going to be out again. I don't love it, but probably moving forward, though, if you can still get your hands on him, I'd get him. And if you don't play him this week, then there's probably some really good matchups coming up.
Jamie, obviously, you like Curtis Samuel moving forward.
Yeah, and this is a long-term play. Like, he doesn't have a great matchup this week, but then he's got the Lions at home, at Minnesota, home against Denver, at Green Bay.
Home runs.
All that through week 15. So, like, there's really – I love the way they're using him. It took a couple weeks to kind of get going, but I was worried, as I said on the show last night, that he was going to be the odd man out in this offense. But Joe Brady and company are finding very creative ways to get him involved. And I just – you love players that are going to get scheme touches because they have at least a floor that you can count on in fantasy. And I love what he's doing so far. And that offense is competent. Like, you're going to have 3 fantasy-relevant receivers on that roster the rest of the season, especially given those matchups post-Tampa Bay. So – I'm excited about having him, even if I don't play him this week. If you have room to kind of stash him for 1 week, just hold on to him. I think he's going to be a guy that's going to be ranked in my top 35, maybe even top 30 in some of those matchups, because those are really juicy.
That's a guy that could win your league. That's, I go back to that. I played Dr. Roto in the finals of our league, what, 3 years ago, whatever it was. And he played like nine dudes that weren't drafted in the preseason draft and like four dudes I'd never heard of.
That's what happened.
Beat me by like 15 points. And he started adding them as we were getting through. And you're like, he's playing JD McKissick and Curtis Samuel in the finals and not playing, you know, Adam Thielen that you took in the second round and Juju Smith-Schuster you took in the third, and you lose because of that. Like, these are things, like, listen to what Jamie's saying here. These are things that win you your league. And those matchups to week 15, yeah, okay, long-term play. You might not play them against the Bucks, but those next four, those are home runs. Those secondaries all suck. You can throw on all those teams.
And one thing to note for all the people that are on the Sleeper app that are losers and don't have like actual waiver wires, so they're allowing players to pick people up like now, which is stupid. I'll just call you out if you play in a league like that. Right now, the number one pickup so far this week is Curtis Samuel.
That's not a surprise.
Number two is Kalen Ballage.
L. Yeah,
which is convenient because that those are two L's that will precede your third L if you play him this week in your fantasy league.
Wow, but Kalen Ballage, not ever going to be on any podcast list or anything that we do. Do not care that you guys went
more than $0 to pick up Kalen Ballage in your fab budget. You deserve everything you get.
Totally agree. That's a phenomenal way to end the podcast. Final thoughts, Jake. What are your final thoughts?
We talked about it in the pre-show, and I said, Jamie, how do you go 12-2 on games that you pick but go 6-8 against the spread? I'm talking about myself. I don't even get that. Like, this was a tough week. I was killing it in early games and, like, three backdoor covers last minute. It's getting hard, but we're still doing really good. It's just, like, that is a crazy thing to go 12-2 and 6-8. I'm looking forward to this week. There's some good matchups that are kind of sneaky, including Monday Night Football, which we were kind of messing around with before the show. But that could be a lot of fun next week.
Jamie, final thoughts?
One other name I want you to kind of keep an eye on if you're QB needy this coming week is Jared Goff. Now, he's been bad lately. I get it. And he's been on bye, so he's available right now in 66% of leagues. But he plays Seattle. Seattle's allowing 27 fantasy points per game to quarterbacks this year. That is the worst in the NFL, even worse than Atlanta. 27 points per game. If Jared Goff can't go off in this matchup, where literally everybody is putting up points on Seattle. And again, I will remind you, they're on pace to be 400 yards worse than the worst defense of all time. I'm going to ride with Jared Goff this week of being as a QB1. Like, I like that, man. I know what the last vision was. I know the vision of Jared Goff just getting absolutely blown up because he does not see the guy coming off the edge right in front of him. But it's Seattle, and they've had a bye week to prepare. Like, they might have the entire first half scripted at this point against the Seahawks defense. Like, I can't see how Goff doesn't have a huge day here, which, by the way, is great news for Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, hopefully good news for Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp for fantasy owners, because Jared Goff has struggled for the last few weeks. So I envision it. Listen, anybody could put up numbers against Seattle. If you can't get right against Seattle, I got nothing for you.
You can't get right.
Especially coming off the bye, like you said, with McVay. Like, he's going to have a bunch of stuff schemed up to get guys wide open, those play action things he likes to do where Jared's way out of the pocket. Nobody's in front of him. We saw that Jamal Adams and Dunlap don't make that big of a difference. So,
no. And so, and I guess the TLDR part of this, the too long didn't read, is I would pick up Jared Goff before I'm picking up Tua. Which I know is going to be antithetical to what everybody ends up doing in fantasy.
But
I would pick up Jared Goff this week way before I pick up Tua. Tua, by the way, the number one quarterback pickup right now.
Of course he is.
Excuse me, number two behind Alex Smith.
That's insane.
What? Okay.
Yeah, I got nothing for you on that one.
So
Jared Goff right now is the fourth most picked. Now, part of it is because it's raw numbers, but Jared Goff is the fourth most picked up quarterback on Sleeper right now behind Alex Smith, Tua Tagovailoa, and Jake Luton.
I mean, Alex Smith is playing the Lions, but
he ain't playing the Seahawks.
No. And it's Alex Smith.
Yeah.
Not like he has the running factor anymore. Wow.
So, like I said, Look, Tua has an okay matchup. Like, if you're in a 2 QB league, Tua is a fun play this week. Like, I think he's a top 20 play, but he's not a top 12 play. Jared Goff's a QB1 this week. Don't overthink this.
I wholeheartedly agree.
Speechless. I know.
I'm speechless because I cannot get over
it. I got numbers right here. You can look it up yourself if you have the sleeper app.
I love Alex Smith, and it's a great story. But dear God, what are you people watching?
I'm watching him throw it to J.D. McKissick 14 times.
Two of the top five pickups are Kalen Ballage and Alex Smith. Like, help me. More people are picking them up than J.D. McKissick. This is a crime. This is a travesty. Stop the count on the waiver additions until J.D. McKissick catches up, because this is ridiculous.
By the way, one other cool thing with J.D. McKissick, like Jalen Samuels, last year, 2 years ago, when he had the tight end and running back designation? J.D. McKissick has wide receiver and running back designation. Not that you don't have to play him in a flex anyway, but like, that's just like an extra bonus.
Just in case, a late inactive. I mean, roster flexibility
is as bad
as
the running back market is. Put his ass in as a running back.
Yeah.
I should have played more this week. The stop the count statement.
I told myself I might get through the whole week without making it. I'm more mad because I have election bets that they will not cash out yet. And I'm annoyed because I want to use it to bet on.
Cash them out. God, stop the count.
I want to bet on J.D. McKissick.
It's so good.
Catch my bets from one Washington to another Washington. That's all I need.
Yeah, J.D. McKissick. My final thoughts are J.D. McKissick. That's my final thoughts. If you haven't picked him up yet, I got nothing for you.
If he goes out there and goes, catch two balls for 14 passes, I'm not coming on the show. No, I might come on the show and just scream for 30 minutes.
Oh man, it's listen, with the way that position specifically has been this year, even if that did happen, people could not really be that mad because there's just been so much that has happened. But J.D. McKissick, say no to Alex Smith. That's the end of the podcast. Like, I'm happy for you guys that I'm happy for Alex Smith, but like, say no to that in fantasy football, guys. That just should not be happening. I have absolutely no idea what you guys are watching, and play everyone against Seattle. Always. Doesn't matter who they're playing. You guys saw Dallas put up 500 yards of offense. I understand Dak was there, but like, that's who this team is. Like, play everyone against Seattle always. That's the final thoughts on the podcast. Jake, how can everybody follow you on social media?
Arians NFL on the gram and Jake B. Arians on Twitter.
Jamie.
Follow me at Jamie Eisner on Twitter.
You guys can follow me at @_sports_page with an I, and send all your stop the count jokes to @Jamie Eisner on Twitter. Be sure to check out the rankings at thedraftnetwork.com and enjoy the rest of your week.